Welcome in, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Final segment of our live super stream, our three-hour tour for the day. It is Wednesday, so it's Wide Open Wednesday. Hop on into the YouTube chat boxes, and we will be happy to field all of your questions and or concerns, or, you know, just random hot takes or, you know, general stupidity. You know, it's whatever you bring. There's already been a little bit of that in the chat box today, but I am Phil Mullinax, Mad Dog, and he is JC Sherbert, and we're here. We are ready to believe you.
We're ready to believe you. We're ready to believe you. Ghostbusters, what do you want?
We got one.
Dun, 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 dun. I need to watch that. That was one of my favorites. Probably one of my all-time favorites.
Such a good movie.
All right, so McKellar Enterprises chat box on Wide Open Wednesday. We always roll through and answer as many questions as we can on Wednesdays because we love Wednesdays, right, Phil?
Oh, yeah.
You guys kind of just let us know what to talk about. So there's some question. Somebody in the chat box mentioned, well, they're paying Peak. So, you know, he would be the left tackle. I don't necessarily think that's going to play a factor. But I do think this. I think even though Darius Gray is quite good, a fully healthy and ready to go Peak, I don't know that he's going to be that good.
Right.
Now I like having both of them. I'm kind of intrigued by both of them at tackle. And this is nothing against Shed Surratt or Dane Arnett, who and Seth Smith, all I thought played pretty well. But first of all, those are two gifted athletes at tackle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As far as just pure athleticism goes, not going to be many around the country that can combine that. Yeah, a lot depends on what the offense wants and needs, but you know, I think it's an interesting situation, and a lot too depends. Like, okay, so Peak's practicing, so how does he look in practice? You know, he's practicing in pads with contact, so how does he look this week? They're probably going to hold him this weekend, but how does he look? Is he out there able to block Dylan Stewart and Jillian Walker? And is he struggling? Does he know his assignments? That's very important. How quickly is he acclimated? Is he showing any signs of favoring the knee? You know, those are all things they have to evaluate in practice. We're not really privy to it.
Yeah.
You know, we can find out some things here and there that go into that decision. But it's an interesting decision to have. And I'll tell you this right now, heading out of spring, Beamer said it. Depth on the O-line was a concern. I had somebody that watched a spring scrimmage and said, ooh, the backup O-line looks SoCon level today. Like that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, but these guys all have worked and they play together. And I mean, the communication was just so night and day better. And Craig mentions this too. He's like, we must teach passing off blocks much better with Clements. It's night and day better from the O-lines of the past. I have a theory about it. If somebody asked Shane Beamer about it, he'd probably deny it, or maybe I'm just wrong. Again, you know, when you read last year that Lonnie Teasley and Mike Shula worked on the run game, and it was things that he got from the Mark Trestman era when he was with the Ravens as an assistant. Anytime you hear something like that, there's a 80 to 90% chance college kids aren't going to be able to understand it.
Right.
And so there's that part of it, kind of this is better than what they were doing. The second part of that is I think Beamer kind of got tired of guys that didn't know what to do on offense. And so when they went through install, they didn't change the spring practice schedule and the install period, you know, because they kind of did it. They actually did it kind of like the NFL does it, where they took pieces of it and worked the same thing 3 days in a row in spring and installed it. They didn't do that for the benefit of the defense or special teams. Huh. They did it for the offense and they earned it. And if you notice, people started asking Kendall Briles early in the preseason, how much install and all that's a common question. Most offensive coordinators get that time of year. Oh, we're done installing.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, but the first time I heard it, I was like, wow, okay, man, y'all really got to work. So now it's basically getting like five guys up to speed.
And you rep it over and over, mm-hmm. and then you got a bunch of guys in that room that love playing offensive line that are older and experienced at doing stuff like that.
Yeah,
at the college level. I was impressed with that part of it. And that stuff is stuff that you can control no matter who you're playing, right? Assignments. And I said this, I can live with them getting their butt. They're going to get their butt kicked by some defensive lines this year. It's the SEC. I mean, South Carolina has maybe had, in a couple of seasons, I always go back to that Georgia win that Muschamp had in 19. South Carolina's defensive line that year had some good players with Kinlaw and Enigbare. They had a pretty good defense player-wise, if you want me to be honest. Personnel is probably better than that unit actually was or performed. But that day at Georgia, Georgia had NFL dudes on their offensive line. This was 2019, right before it got rolling. Carolina destroyed them up front. Oh, where the hell did that come from? You know, and you're just going to have days like that. And now it's even worse because offensive line is not a big glamorous position. So you're going to get your butt kicked. But I'll handle that. I can handle a butt kicking, then mass confusion.
Yeah.
And lack of communication. Somebody said Boaz Stanley had a false start at center for Purdue. My goodness. What's going on is my question.
Because that's so rare.
He
needs to get his hearing check, maybe.
Or something. I mean, somebody look at it on film and see what's going on. Is there something that mechanically he's doing? Is he just – and then here's another idea. Move his butt to guard.
Right. Somebody get him off the ball.
Maybe you're just not cut out to be a center, son. Oh, my gosh. And Ethan mentions about the money thing, their job's to win games, not be a team budgeting analyst. Yeah, I don't think money's going to play a factor.
Yeah, probably not.
So Cam mentions Nike's no longer in the S&P 100. Some people have mentioned that. I don't know.
I don't think that really matters.
I mean, people aren't. I don't know. Okay, Bryant says, who all's going to be at the game Saturday? Roll call. Tell us who it is. Bill says, what's the avocado obsession? Inquiring minds. It's just a diet Jamie went on.
Yeah.
Jan says he's from Avocado, Mexico. John Alexander, 3826. I sure hope we are better than Clemson. Right now, yeah.
Well.
Clemson's got some offensive issues, period.
Yeah, just straight up. That is
we'll
not
see how just, good. Yeah. We'll see how good LSU is. Clemson's got Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern's not terrible.
They were talking about, I heard somebody talking about quarterback controversy is what they have now. I'm like, no, it doesn't matter who you put back there right now. They need to fix the five in front of him first.
but as Dabo does, they'll put Tate Reynolds in and then they'll take some L's. I'm going to pull up their schedule because we're going to have here's the typical Clemson football season when they haven't been national title good. Like the normal. This plays out. and at the end of the, I've seen Carolina win it both ways. But here's what Clemson normally does before the South Carolina game.
There you go. They got to get right this week.
Yeah, I mean, so here's what they normally do. This is what will happen, I guarantee you. So 51-10, Dabo's gone, blah, 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 blah. They'll play Georgia Southern this weekend at home at night, right? Nice night game for the Tigers. Georgia Southern will provide some anxious moments. But Clemson will pull away and win 31-18. And Tate Reynolds will get in there and do something good.
That's right.
And so – So North Carolina is the next week, right? Noon, ESPN and Disney Plus. And so Dabo will talk about it all week. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to get out there and let them compete, you know. And then finally, Tate Reynolds will get the start against North Carolina.
That's right.
And they will blow the doors off of the Tar Heels. We'll
take the Tar Heels behind the woodshed.
41-6, okay? Because guess what? North Carolina is not very good.
Then, just in time for Reefer Madness the next week.
Yeah, well, Reefer Madness the next Friday night. 10:30 Eastern West Coast ACC team going to Cal. If Cal had their old coach, I would say look out. Ooh. But Tosh Lupoy is kind of a hype machine, I guess.
I don't know what happened there. They were in it, and then I went to sleep in the fourth quarter, and then it was over. Big bad.
But here's what I think. 10:30 at night, Friday night, Clemson will go out there, and it'll be a nip-and-tuck game. Tate Reynolds, first road start, much will be made, and they'll lose by a point on a last-minute field goal. So then Miami's coming to town in a week. Huge game, Memorial Stadium, blah, 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 blah. Clemson starts well, then Miami just blows 48-24 type game. All right. So Clemson sitting there at 2-3. Then they're off. Then they play Charleston Southern. This is where the magic starts to happen, ladies and gentlemen.
This is where, the build up.
All right. You're sitting there at 2-3. Tate Reynolds, still the quarterback, blah, blah, blah. There's some portal stuff. Somebody asked Dabo a question he doesn't like, blah, blah, blah. They come in and demolish Charleston Southern 63-0.
Yeah, right.
If orange balloons were still a thing, it would – never mind. That's off color. So October 24th. Who's coming to town? Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech will have a good record at the time. James freaking Franklin, right? But what does James Franklin do? Loses games he shouldn't. Hokies are a favorite against the Tigers for the first time ever. It's a nip and tuck battle. Oh, Virginia Tech, Grookey Cookie Monster, whatever the hell the quarterback's name is, fumbles. Nolan Hauser, whoever Clemson's kicker is now, I don't even know who it is, kicks a 58-yard game winner, and they win. Uh-oh, we're rolling now. At Florida State. Either with or without Mike Norvell, that's an below-average ACC football team. Clemson goes in there, wins by a couple of touchdowns, right? They go to Syracuse. Scary game. Scary game. Syracuse beat us last year. They get revenge because Syracuse goes for the win and misses. Two-point conversion, right? Yeah. And so it's 20-19. So Georgia Tech comes into town. How's that pro-style offense?
Oh, yeah.
Clemson's defense suddenly comes to life 17-6. And then at Duke, which can't possibly be that good this year.
No, that's right. Yeah, there's no way.
Another Friday night game, and Clemson goes in there and pulls off their normally, we're going to go beat the crap out of somebody right before we play South Carolina type of deal. And then the Gamecocks are coming in to play a team that's won 6 in a row, that's 8-3. With all the momentum in the world.
Right.
And they really hadn't beaten anybody.
It hasn't played a damn soul.
That's how their seasons go. Like these Clemson seasons like this, where it just, that's how they go.
Clemson's gonna
Bryant says they need more water stations at Willie B with ice in it. Yeah, they need more ice and stuff. Bobby says the elbow up baseball people need to die. It's pretty harsh. Brian, thank you. He says blue is still a thing at baseball games. Come now, blue.
Come now, blue.
Come now, blue. So, anyway, Bryce says, JC, do you think Cutter Woods could be a better all-around passer of the football than Lenoris or have the potential to be? I don't want to get into comparisons because Bryce, unfortunately, there's some people that don't think Lenoris is a good passer. I don't know why. Especially if you like the highlight throws, there were a couple of ones he zipped in down the right side, the west sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Very beautiful passes. But he has the potential to be an excellent passer. I'll put it that way.
Yeah,
I think Cutter Woods is going to be an excellent quarterback. in time, will his completion percentage, yardage, all that be better than Lenore's? We'll see. But, you know, Cutter looked good. Cutter makes good decisions. Cutter can make all the throws. Got a good arm. He's been well coached and all that good stuff. Eden says, I don't think they ever need to schedule noon games in September at Willie B. Very ridiculous to me. More night games earlier, day games later, if possible. It's not up to the university. If Carolina, I mean, I can't remember when it's been up to Carolina at the opener.
See, there's only
been a noon game.
Yeah, I know for a fact that the state could pass a law saying that you cannot do that. But I think that our friends up my way like doing that. Because, of course, you know, yeah, they're surrounded by trees and not a concrete jungle. So it doesn't affect them quite as badly.
No, yeah. Clemson openers have been hot, you know, as far as day games go. Yeah, Clemson people like those openers. I mean, it's the SEC. I mean, you need at some point, somebody's got to say, hey, look. And here's the problem is, like, next year they're going to go with the week zero thing. So it's even earlier, yeah, right, in August. So
now you might have 2 weeks of that.
And these types of games, you know, these Kent State type games are going to be prevalent again. And somebody's got to play in the noon spot, right? I mean, I don't think it's fair to Alabama and East Carolina to make them play at noon. It was the hottest game in the history of Bryant Denny as well. It's the South, right? It's early September.
Yeah.
So maybe they need to make some considerations, you know, like just kind of say, all right, so if you're going to play a crappy team in the opener and you're north of, you know, you're Nashville, you're Vanderbilt, Kentucky, maybe Tennessee, it's hot there too, but it's not record setting, you know, keep the deal. Cause Florida had to open in the middle of the day a couple of years ago against some crap team at the Swamp. I can't. I'm sitting there. I'm like, I can't imagine a more miserable experience in my life.
That's right. Yeah, just awful. Like,
good God.
There's nothing worse than
Gainesville, Florida, and that time.
In week one, too, it's like, man, y'all have enough neutral site games, but then you're like, well, that Ole Miss Louisville game was 100 degrees in Nashville or whatever, feels like, you know, right?
Yeah, but it was at least at night. You know, yeah, the sun goes down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, noon, you have nowhere to hide.
Auburn-Baylor should have kicked off at noon.
Yes. Hey, there's an idea.
Right.
Instead, you know, why don't you kick off the indoor game? And I think, you know, Clemson and Georgia, when they played in 24 to open the season at the Dome in Atlanta, was noon.
Yeah,
that run the TV networks that decide, you know, they're just again, the people that think the Real Housewives of New Jersey is a good idea, and it is, you can't deny people are watching, but yeah, that's their motivation. They could care less about the fans of the game. So hopefully, and look, honestly, Carolina rarely gets that noon kickoff. I mean, it's happened how many times to open the year? 2018 against Coastal was one, and thankfully that was a little cooler than people thought. But I can't remember like a nooner to open the year.
Yeah.
Hey, Roger. Roger from Woodruff is in the chat box. Haynes says, do you think this is the most depth we've had on any Carolina football roster? I don't know yet because, Haynes, we got to see how it plays out as, you know, the competition. I know they had a lot more depth than Kent State. I think they have a chance to have more depth. I think there's more depth than, you know, potentially than some of the teams Spurrier had, but people get mad at me when I say that. But I'm not talking about superstars or proven players or winning. I'm talking about depth. And those teams outside of Marcus Lattimore and then the 1 year in 2011, Lattimore and everybody else got hurt at running back, those teams were really very good about not being injured with their starters. Very few injuries. Tanner says, I'm ready to see what Kendall Briles can do with Lenore's legs. Yep, you may not see it this weekend because they don't – I mean, they're not going to run him if they don't have to. Hell, I wouldn't.
No, the risk-reward there is not high enough to do that.
TC says, could Brett Bielema stall our up-tempo game? He'd try, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he'd do a better job than the refs did in the first drive, which was very frustrating to me. Yeah. The chain gang screw up, the clock screw up. It's like, it's game one. It's everybody's game one. I'm just going to chalk it up to that. This better, y'all better have this fixed next week.
Yeah. Michael says Dane Arnett can play inside. Yeah, he's way, be way behind everybody been there, though. They like it. He's been at tackle since Carolina. Bobby said, so we are saying peak at full go is more than what Gray has at this point. I mean, I think so. Maybe not by much. But, you know, I mean, and you got to think, Bobby, you know, Jacarius has played Power Four college football for a few years. Darius has just played Kent State.
Yeah.
I think Darius is really good, but, you know, I think Peak would just be the guy. All right. Roger's not going to W.L. Varner Stadium. And when I initially, that's Woodruff High School's home stadium. And originally I thought he's mad because I got waxed by Emerald and Gamecock, the Gamecock quarterback or baseball commit Height. Emerald's playing really well.
Yeah.
Originally I thought Roger was going to be mad Wolverine fan, but he's not. He'll go to the CLA for James Taylor.
There you go.
And what's Phil's email address?
Hit me up, Roger, at insidethegamecocks@gmail.com. All one word, insidethegamecocks@gmail.com. And I will see it there.
All right. Gamecock traditions, folks. Get those beat Towson State. Or is it Towson? All right, so.
It's Towson.
It's just Towson. So yes. Kent changed it from Kent State to just Kent a few years back. And then went back to Kent State. Yeah, and then that's what's throwing me off. These two people, these two little guys at the beginning. It is frustrating me.
The mascot history not quite as sordid with our friends at Towson. They picked a tiger and stuck with it essentially now for 80 years. But there is a fun fact buried in there in that they didn't give it a name for 60 plus years.
The mascot was the tiger.
The tiger. And now it has
what's Clemson's mascot name, Phil?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, he has one. It is the tiger.
It is the tiger. So they have it either.
And the lady tiger. That's right. Yeah, they do like the. I thought.
Clemson's is just the tiger.
I thought he had a name.
He has no name. What would you call him? Pitchfork?
Oh. Crazy eyes.
That's Pitchfork, the methed out tiger.
That's so methy.
That's Quaker over there. Oh, man. I said the other day, you never hear saying anything bad about Clemson. I meant their football team and their the mascots. Definitely not off limits. I mean, Bobby is a friend of mine, and he's a Purdue grad, and I go after Purdue Pete all the time, so people can forgive me for that. All right, we're going to be back in rapid fire through the rest of the McKellar Enterprises chat box on the show after this.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Final segment of the show here on a wide open Wednesday. Get you through your midweek. We are rolling through the McKellar Enterprises chat box here. I had a lot of talk about Peak and Darius Gray. I think we're making a mistake assuming that Gray's the one getting displaced in this. I think there is a world where he doesn't move or might move, but doesn't get
goes the right side. I can see that. I could definitely see that Peak at left and then him at right.
Either way, it's a good problem inside. To have, right?
I don't know that he goes inside, though. Maybe. I mean, yeah. You know, look, like I said, a lot depends on, well, how's Peak practicing? Well, how's Gray practicing? And then it's like, well, how does Gray do once you get the SEC play?
Yeah.
You know, there's some things that maybe he gets. It's just – it's interesting, but we'll see kind of how it all plays out. I do think Darius Gray is advanced for a freshman.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. I think he's better right now like better equipped athletically and mentally to handle it than Josiah Thompson or Trey Babalade were at left tackle in 23 and 24. And those guys I thought actually played well. I mean, it wasn't like they were bad. Okay, so Cameron says, random question, is the famous poll du jour making a return this season? If so, we'll have it. If so, that sounds good. I'll have that.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
I don't know if we'll do that or not. That was more of an old Big Spur 2.0 thing. So we'll see. Hell Rooster says, theory, Lonnie Teasley's a horrendous coach. I think he's really good at recruiting. I think as far as coaching the offensive line goes, the product speaks for itself.
Yeah, there might have been a disconnect there.
Roger said, does Greer have anything for Burns? I'm sure they want to beat him. Rob went and saw Greer play and thought Greer was pretty good. So, Ethan brings up a great point. Amazing what happens when you keep running plays that continue to work instead of throwing all away after the first drive. Going to a shell.
There was a lot of that. Oh, yeah. Well, that worked. A few back. Let's do it again.
Sellers will need to be ready to run it a lot more against the Bulldogs. Depends on how the passing game's going, how the running backs are running. But exclusive Musick says, exclusive music. I've called him Musick for like ever. I'm so sorry. Exclusive music, dog. My bad. Shula, 16 touchdowns in 9 games. Bryles, 8 touchdowns in 1 game. How about that?
Exclusive. 5 in the red zone, which is a third of red zone production for the entire season last year.
The one retina says, if your fault starting as a sitter, then you ain't living right. Dude, it happened 7 times last year. I got worried. Like, all right, I got to give. And look, I'm not really making fun of anybody here, right? But there were signs.
Okay. There were signs.
There were some signs with Boaz. Unbelievably. So Craig hits me one day. He's like, man, did you see the Boaz Stanley press conference today? And I was like, no. And he was like, was not reassuring. I was like, oh God, what did he do? So I think it was a Cason Henry. Yeah, Cason Henry, good press conference guy. Gets up there and talks about some things. Really good answers and give some specifics about what their mantra is in the offensive line room and all this other stuff. And old Boaz gets up there and kind of just grinning. They ask him about that specific thing. He said, I don't know what you're talking about.
Huh? What?
Huh? I'm not really quite sure. And he's like, and I'm like, oh my God. Mm. You know, I'm not saying the guy's not smart because obviously he's college guy, you know, graduate. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I'm just saying that, you know, maybe he just wasn't quite cut out to do what the center needs to do, and not everybody is, you know. No. I mean, the fact that he did that at Purdue already. You're in for a long year, Boilermakers.
That's right. Yes,
Bobby,
right.
Call all your fellow alums. Anyway, Blake says, I'm back. Right. A random fact of the day. Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20 grew up in Turbeville and went to East Clarendon. Yeah.
Really?
I used to tell everybody I discovered Matchbox 20. I thought they were from Florida, actually, but because like I went to this what's it called, Manifest or something, the record company in Greenville, and they're like, hey, we got this new band called Matchbox 20. There's Yourself or Something Like You. Like, listen to it; it's good. You get $5. I thought it was pretty good, and so for 6 months, me and my buddy would jam to it, and then they got uber popular.
Oh, it's funny. He was Army brat. So he was actually born in Germany and they moved to South Carolina. Yeah. Thomas's parents divorced when he was 2 years old and moved with his mom and his sister to South Carolina in
Lake City.
And then moved to Sarasota, Florida. So you were right. It came from Florida.
The band
itself was assembled in Florida.
Yeah. Florida, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dexter says, "Well, who would you? What team would you trade LSU for? I heard UNC wants to come over. I think North Carolina would be the move, unless for whatever reason you could make the deal of the century and get Notre Dame to join. It's a contiguous state. The NCAA plays the Southeast NCAA March Madness Regional in Indianapolis sometimes. It's only 2 hours, yes, which is ridiculous. It's not the Southeast.
No.
But, hey, Kentucky shares a long border with Indiana. Trust me, I know. So, anyway, Russell says 20 band members had to be treated for heat-related issues. Here would be my recommendation to the band. Okay. Wear white shorts and white polos or tank tops and just go out there like a big pep band the next time it is 100 degrees.
I was surprised they were out there in garnet polos. I'm like, oh, white polo. Should have wore white polo.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And I'm still wondering if the fight song's not slowed down a little bit.
Okay, I listen, like, for pregame. Right. I could hear it coming through the TV on pregame.
Uh-huh.
When they play Step to the Rear, and I'm with you.
It's kind of a half beat. I think
it's kind of it's dragging a little bit.
More staccato.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's not supposed to be that way. It's a freaking show tune.
That's right. It's supposed to pick it up. Let's pick it up.
Old man yells at cloud. But no, I mean, you know, don't go back. I mean, you know, some of these fight songs are fun and jazzy. I mean, they're not slowing down Fight On out at SC, you know. They're not slowing down the Ohio State fight song. I mean, I don't know who decided that's a bad idea. I don't care who knows it.
I don't care.
I'm just killing the band today.
Right. It's like, yeah.
The Mighty Sound of the Southeast versus JC. Clint would play Tate Reynolds if he's Clemson. Jan says, why do you think the decision to stick with Wilson over Nike for footballs? Longevity, or do they get input on the quarterback's preferences? I don't know. I don't know.
I didn't notice that. Good eye, Jim.
Good eye, Jim. Hell Rooster says Clemson has no talent. This is different. Maybe not good talent either.
Problem is their strength of schedule. You're not going to know. We're never going to know.
Brennan says, I'm no Dabo fan, but him ripping Chapel Fowler or whatever his name was is priceless. I don't know. I didn't listen to it. You're kind of maybe,
missed that. Yeah, I missed
you know,
that.
I know a lot of people were defending him, including a lot of people I respect. So I don't know. Ethan says, I heard Dabo has a higher buyout at the end of the season than if they fired him now. I don't know. How do you get that? Cocky Lid says Dabo will be channeling his inner Kevin Garnett at that point. Anything is possible. Fowler should have said, have you ever been a reporter?
Look, oh, he man. Didn't hit him with the, have you ever been a coach, has he?
No, have you ever played football?
Oh, that's even worse.
So.
Does he allow women to invite his press conferences?
Dabo was kind of being that all shucks and laughing, but you can tell it made him mad. And he, what gave it away was, and this is from what I've read and gathered, I haven't watched it. It was one of those asides where, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I know that you have to, I understand that you have to be the gotcha guy and all that. And, you know, had you ever played football? Oh, okay. You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, what a, yeah, that's right.
Look. So the question becomes, you just got beat by LSU. Dabo did make a good point. LSU could be really, really good, and you just got beat, and you're actually a pretty good team. Is it time? It seemed to me like the question could have been a little different because you're talking about roster construction right now. There is relevance in it when you look at LSU's use of the portal versus Clemson's. But after one game to start talking about roster construction, do you, and not just, hey, where do you think your roster's at? Blah, blah, blah. You know, well, then they're maybe, well, we got some guys we got to bring along and develop, blah, blah, blah. It's, do you regret? Is there any regrets? And I could see from a coach's standpoint, and even from, you know, just fans and players. So I, you know, the meal is that, that would be like me using some ingredients from Aldi, right? That, that, you know, that stuff at Aldi that you can get sometimes, Phil, that's, you know, it's kind of generic, but you're used to the certain generic brands at Aldi that are just fine with your cooking.
Right.
But then you kind of take a leap of faith on some others.
You're like, well, the other ones are good. Let me try this one.
It's a dollar cheaper, and it's not.
It's not, and it's just not.
And you know it, but you still are going to bake your cake anyway, right? That would be like Chapel Fowler rolling in, and I'm baking a cake, right? And I mix up the batter. And I stick my finger in it. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Do you regret shopping at Aldi? Blah, 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 blah. Not yet. That's like the first time you have a fight with your wife.
Have you ever been grocery shopping?
You know, no, you don't know this. I see where Devo's coming from now, the little cheap shots and all that, and his use of the portal. I think that's all fair game, but I can understand where after one game, if you're, I haven't finished baking the cake yet. You're already questioning like how, like if I regret doing it that way.
Right.
Yeah. You know, what if a mechanic's sitting there and he's trying to fix your car and he does things a little unorthodox, and then all of a sudden your car springs a leak and he gets oil on his face and, or on his, you know, suit or whatever, but he's going to fix the car or not. It's not. And somebody's sticking their head. Do you regret your unorthodox manners of how you fix that car? I could see where it pissed you off a little bit, but I don't know that Devo was in the right. I'm not defending him. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Blake says he cannot take the hard questions or criticism. No, he's not.
No, he can.
He's 187 and 55. I mean,
right. I mean, you know,
those guys don't walk around humble.
No.
TC Gamecock, some of these ACC teams lay down as soon as they see the orange helmet, you know. So, Cockweed says Tommy West lived off that weak cluster of games and Clemson schedule every year until he didn't, and so did Tommy Bowden.
That's right.
Ed says, are we recruiting Cutter's brother, Bear Woods? Absolutely.
Yeah, I would.
Carolina's think so. Got an offer on the table for him. He's a good player. He's 2029. Oh, Blake says, JC, gun to your head, personal preference for home games, SEC night game on SEC Network or SEC noon game on ABC? My personal preference depends on where I'm watching the game.
That's right.
Like, as far as how it affects me, if I'm at home, bring on the nooner. If I'm at the game, bring on the night game. Right. What's best for the program? Absolutely the nooner on ABC.
Yeah, the ABC game is better.
You get SEC Network at night, dude. Nobody's watching that.
No.
That's a lower rated game. So, Morgan says, Gray can't play right tackle? Absolutely can play right tackle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. TD says, big question. Does Darius Gray play left tackle next year and Josiah play right tackle when he's back? Maybe. Right now, I'd say good shot. At it. Sir James says, we didn't sub as much Saturday from what I could tell. That's how Brett got us a few years ago. They subbed, but they didn't sub like those personnel packages, dude. God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Last year, why are you subbing so much?
Just be at one time. I mean, and you could tell like it was the pace of play from Carolina did kind of stump Kent a little bit because they had that illegal substitution penalty. Sorry, I knew I'd get it spit out. Yeah.
Harrison points out Peak has started more games at right tackle in his career, so I don't know if that plays a factor. Yeah, I mean, like I said, you can play him at right tackle. I mean, you know, you got to make sure that he's good with it and all.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you can flip them. Who knows? Quantrell says Peak knows the money's on the left side, so he won't push for that. Yeah. NS mixing. I love RPO based offenses. So defenses force you to run, cover the pass. We saw that a lot in McClendon's offense in 18 more so, but yeah. Starts being a ton of runs because the defense dictates the read. Yeah. And then you got Lenore's, there's runs on top of that that they didn't really do much of.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff asked if Carolina have special uniforms this weekend. I don't know. Interesting question.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
Billy says no JC again. What are you talking about? Micah says, why is the narrative that the talent gap is wider from P4 to G6? If that's true, how did Western Michigan beat Michigan? That narrative exists to downplay the G6 for a playoff spot. They shouldn't have a playoff spot. It's a different level of football.
Yeah, it is. And a one-off is not, you know, proof.
No. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of teams competing like they were used to be able to. Now, is the gap, like, gigantic? No, and to your point, Micah, if the gap was that gigantic, why are there all these players from Group of Five going to Power Fours every year in the portal? Coveted guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got players, but that's a different level of football. I mean, in every other level of every other football, you know, college, high school, junior high, even in the Pee Wee League, right? You can't be a certain weight and play. In every other level of football, we skew it to where there's no crazy competitive advantage based on resources, right? Resources. In the NFL, they make sure everybody has equal resources, Phil.
That's right. That's right, yeah. Salary cap, communism. All this. That's right, yeah.
Communism. Communism. It's the communist football league. Not in college, though. Not in college, you know, group of five. We're just going to sell out for the money. Then somebody had the gall to write an article about, like group of five is the most honest thing there is because they're just there for the paycheck and blah, 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 blah. And then they started raising safety concerns and all. I'm like,
yeah.
And they're just sacrificing these kids at the altar of Ohio State. Okay, well, aren't Mr. Johnny Journalist, why aren't you out there pushing for, you know,
that's right.
Why aren't you out there pushing for daggum, I don't remember who wrote it. I don't remember what I hope it wasn't on three. I agree with you if it was.
Yeah, that's all right, yeah.
Why aren't you out there kind of pushing for the group of five to have their own playoff? I mean, or do you just want to tear everything down because everything's evil? The people that sit there and claim everything's evil are the people that have pushed for policies with this sport that have completely mucked it up. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
The people that want to scream oppressors and want to scream fairness and all that, they create something that's completely unfair. You know why? Because of no common sense, Phil.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Because deep down inside, they know the truth.
So... Purdue Pete, America's original tradesman, needs to sit down with Boaz, confidence booster. That's crazy.
Original tradesman.
Hell Rooster, I don't know why fans are wearing it in the stadium, brother. I know a lot, but not that. Lynn says, I would not waste special uniforms on Towson. Think about Mississippi State. Murph touchdown pass after the hurry up was a thing of beauty. Yeah, credit Murph. Yeah. Credit Murph of like getting back up. I mean, right after he made a play, gets back to the lines up, scores a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Michael says we do have a lot of dumb questions around the country too. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh well. All those J schools, it's their fault.
Yeah. Dude, I wouldn't hire somebody that went to J school, bro. Like, I would not. I'm sorry. I don't care. I don't care if they could recite every season in Gamecock history to me. They don't teach you to report facts there. They teach you to push narratives.
But I graduated in Missouri.
Oh, my God. Don't let me start on that. You know what's funny? Early in my career, when I was in newspapers, I got passed over by, like, for jobs in South Carolina, right?
Right.
One of them covered the Gamecocks by a bunch of Mizzou journalism school grads. Every single one of those guys that got jobs over me, and then the editors that hired them, 5 years later were calling me, "Hey, I'm out of a job." No surprise. No, I helped some of them because they were, you know, good people. But that's the anybody that hires that way today, if you have a publication based on Missouri School of Journal or whatever School of Journal, Northwestern or whatever. You get what you get, right?
You get what you get. You don't get upset.
Yeah. X-Man says Murph may have played his way into a starting spot. Yeah, I like Murph. Murph, to me, with the receivers, it's about production. I thought Murph played better than DJ Black, to be honest. Although DJ made some plays. On the depth chart, Murph is behind Harbor, so I don't know. And TD says, "Don't sleep on Stone Furry." Nah, I thought Stone got it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that was a nice little catch and run for him.
He's going to be a player. Krager wants a coffee episode on the players we lose after this season. It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, that you could potentially lose. Yeah, but they, you know, a lot of guys would have to go pro, but there's a lot of significant guys that could go pro. Michael said, "No one likes DJ Black anymore."
No,
it's not what I said at all.
Yeah, no.
It's not. I just said if you compare the two,
Mike. I didn't like him when he put the ball on the ground, but that was for about
5 seconds. Yeah, I don't like the fumble, but I thought he played okay. I just thought Murph looked a little better, but, I mean, they don't play the same position, I guess.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is that he is he's the opposite field receiver, right? Like, I mean, he's typically out there on his own.
Nah, I like DJ Black. What I'd like to see more is maybe – I want to see him get vertical a little bit, like he did in the scrimmages. So that's it. All right, Phil, let's get out of here. It's been JC and Phil, the show, Wide Open Wednesday. It'll be Thursday tomorrow. Go check out some coordinator press conferences. Get right back at it. This has been the show.